Hello, and welcome to the third and final part of this special episode at the end of Season 4 of The Dark Money Files, in which we shine a light into a murky world. I am Ray Blake, and with me is my co-host, friend, and business partner, Graham Barrow. Hello, Graham.
Hello, Ray.
It's been a journey, Graham.
Well, it has, Ray. The Department of Financial Services New York issued a consent order against Deutsche Bank that features three distinct and separate issues. First, there was its relationship over a number of years with Jeffrey Epstein.
Yes, and then there was the correspondent banking services that Deutsche Bank provided to the rogue Cypriot bank, FBME.
So that just leaves, Ray, the elephant in the room, then.
Indeed, Graham. As dedicated listeners will know, Deutsche Bank, for most of the laundromat period, was providing correspondent banking services also to Danske Bank's Estonia branch. The Department of Financial Services New York thought that was worth poking around a bit too.
I think they were right, Ray, but this is well-trodden ground, isn't it? I mean, Brun and Hjele undertook a very wide-ranging investigation. What's left to learn?
I think you'll be surprised, Graham. We've read the B&H report more thoroughly than most people will have, and we learned quite a bit from this consent order.
That's surprising. So let's share it then.
We definitely should. Now, the beauty of the consent order is that it presents a very clear, ordered narrative of events that we can place directly alongside the known Danske Bank timeline.
Which means we can provide context and make connections as we go.
Yes, while it will help if you're up to speed on Danske Estonia, it's not essential.
Right, OK, let's dive in then. When does the Department of Financial Services join the story?
In 2007, Graham, right at the start of the relationship. Danske Bank had just bought Sampo Bank's Baltic business and rebranded it as a Danske operation. That led to the formal establishment of Danske Estonia, which on the 1st of October 2007 opened a correspondent account with Deutsche Bank.
OK, so we spoke last time, Ray, on the FBME episode about Deutsche's risk rating system for correspondent banking relationships at the 1 to 10 RAC scale. You'll recall that FBME started off at 7 or 8, depending on the specific entity, and then rose up the remaining points of the scale. What about Danske Estonia?
Well, as they used to say on Top of the Pops, Graham, it came straight in at number 8.
Oh, topical references. That's very good. Now, that would denote a relationship viewed as high risk, even by correspondent banking standards, right?
Yes. The DFS say this was due to Danske Estonia's high risk jurisdiction, the volume of AML alerts and cases involving Danske Estonia's customers, and the high risk market segments they served.
So, right, Danske Estonia then had risky customers using risky services in a risky jurisdiction.
That's right, Graham. But provided you can wrap the right controls around the business, that risk need not eventuate into money laundering or other crime. That's what RAC was there for, to signal the high risk and require an appropriate elevation in controls.
Indeed, and the consent order notes that Deutsche required annual due diligence reviews that involved discussions between the Deutsche relationship manager and Danske Estonia staff on anti-money laundering and KYC issues.
Like for FBME, as we saw. And while an MLRO, I've been on the respondent end of those discussions, Graham, and they're pretty thorough.
So what sort of things would the Deutsche relationship manager have been asking about in those meetings then, Ray?
Well, the consent order outlines the scope, in fact, Graham. It lists changes in law and regulation that applied, changes to Danske Estonia's internal policies and procedures, major banking issues in Estonia, and Danske Estonia's risk analysis of its own customers.
OK, and we know from the CO that right from the start there was plenty to reflect on for Deutsche Bank. I mean, Deutsche Bank became aware of issues at Danske Estonia concerning its non-resident customer accounts. Specifically, Deutsche saw an increase in AML alerts generated by its own systems involving non-resident Danske Estonia customers with a direct Russian connection or an ultimate Russian connection through Latvia.
And what happened about it?
Well, the alerts prompted Deutsche Bank people from the US and Germany to meet with Danske Estonia in New York. They were assured by Danske Estonia at this meeting that they were moving away from their non-resident client portfolio.
Oh, which is true, of course. Danske Estonia shut down their non-resident portfolio in 2015, didn't they?
They did, Ray, but this meeting took place in 2008.
Say that again, Graham.
In 2008, Danske Estonia told Deutsche Bank they were moving away from the non-resident client portfolio, and then in the following 7 years are believed to have undertaken €200 billion of suspicious transactions for it.
In the meantime, back in 2008, according to the B&H reports, Danske in Denmark is reading internal reports that are very reassuring about the Estonia non-resident business, despite in 2007 having received two reports that should have unsettled them.
Yes, a report from the Estonian FSA, which is the regulator in Estonia, requiring action, and a letter from the Russian Central Bank highlighting money laundering concerns.
So back to the consent order. What happened next?
Well, still in 2008, there was a plan to put Danske Estonia on the same IT platform as the Danish bank, but this fell through. As the consent order notes, this meant that Danske Estonia did not have the same checks as the Danske Home Office, despite its riskier location.
Now, we knew about this from the B&H report, didn't we?
Yes, but we didn't necessarily know until now that Deutsche Bank were also aware of it.
And it's these kinds of cross-referencing we can do between the two accounts that are rather eye-opening.
Yes, Ray, there's a really interesting one in the next section of the consent order.
Tell us about it, Graham.
Well, according to the consent order, Deutsche Bank were sufficiently concerned about Danske Estonia's AML risks that in July 2009, they sent an AML compliance director from the US to provide on-site training at Danske Estonia to their staff, and that covered an overview of the US regulatory requirements.
And that's an extraordinary thing to read for at least two reasons, isn't it?
Yes. First, that it happened at all. I mean, a correspondent bank's compliance function providing training on site to a respondent bank staff. And secondly, there is no trace of that in the Brüning-Hähne report.
And there really would have been, had they known about it, I suspect. This was 2009, when we're getting to the end of all the positive internal reports at Danske, and now the Estonian FSA are saying there are improvements, but the requirements of the law are still not being met.
Yeah, so had Danske Home Office known about Deutsche flying in to explain the requirements to their Estonian branch, you'd think, A, that it would have raised a few questions for them about what was going on in Estonia, and B, that they'd have told Brüning-Hähne's investigators about it.
And there is nothing about this in the B&H report?
Not that I can see, Ray, nothing.
So what was the outcome of this laying down of the law?
Well, in November 2009, it was time for the annual review again. Deutsche Bank noted a lack of improvement despite the previous year's assurances and put the RAC score up from 8 to 9.
And then the following year, they took it to 10, again noting insufficient improvements regarding the non-resident portfolio. According to the consent order, and I'm quoting, the score was expressly based on the volume and nature of suspicious activity involving Danske Estonia and its customers, as well as law enforcement inquiries related to Danske Estonia and its customers.
Now that is interesting, Ray. Twice it refers not to Danske Estonia customers, but to Danske Estonia and its customers.
Yeah, I wondered about that too. This is late 2010 and the first clear indication that we've seen that there were issues with the bank itself rather than just with the transactions of its customers.
And Deutsche's response to move it from a rating of 9, which was already high risk, to 10, the highest level, actually seems a little underwhelming.
Yes, the consent order notes, rather dryly I thought, despite this lack of improvement, the bank elected to continue its relationship with Danske Estonia.
Regulatory humour. So, 2011 then.
Yes, 2011. In April, the same AML compliance director who jetted out in 2008 led a Deutsche Bank team that met Danske Estonia personnel once more to discuss the non-resident portfolio concerns. At this meeting, Deutsche said it would have to consider account closure unless Danske Estonia was able to mitigate its non-resident customer issues. The non-resident portfolio is continuing to trigger AML alerts for Deutsche Bank at this point.
And the timing here is fascinating because this is also around the time that in Denmark, the Danske Bank board is talking about Estonia and the fact that their branch accounts for 30% of all Estonian SARs.
Yeah, and the record shows that they reasoned this was down to Danske's higher standards compared to other banks.
You feel that had they known about or reflected on the conversations Danske Estonia was having concurrently with its correspondent bank, they might have concluded differently?
Well, perhaps so, Graham. But they had another opportunity to reconsider in 2012, when the Danish FSA speaks to the board about the Estonian FSA's letter to them outlining serious anti-money laundering and counter-terrorist financing issues. And the board rather brushed that off too, according to the B&H report.
Meanwhile, Deutsche remained Danske Estonia's clearer, and in November 2013, the question of the relationship again arose. The same AML compliance director wrote to Danske Estonia saying that Deutsche, quote, must see improvements, end of quote, and conducted an on-site visit to Danske Estonia, noting in an internal memo afterwards that there was a basis for closure, and that's a quote too, of the Danske Estonia accounts due to lack of improvement in AML controls.
Nonetheless, the relationship wasn't terminated, was it?
No, which means the unnamed correspondent bank, who according to Brun and Hjela did drop Danske Estonia in 2013, certainly wasn't Deutsche Bank.
Deutsche decided to continue the relationship.
Do we know why, Ray?
Yes, apparently this was thrashed out between the US and Germany Deutsche Bank teams during November 2013. The US AML compliance director, yep, the same one, argued for maintaining the relationship, and that view prevailed. Two reasons are cited. Firstly, Deutsche saw Danske Estonia as an important part of its relationship globally with Danske Bank, the parent company. And secondly, Deutsche believed they could effectively mitigate and control the risk.
Meanwhile, in Danske Estonia, the bond loop is being approved, right?
Yes, indeed, Graham. An innovative and lucrative arrangement for the bank that facilitates anonymous flows out of other currencies into dollars through what, by any standards, are artificial bond transactions.
But they were also making some changes to their anti-money laundering systems, right?
Yes, they were. And the consent order offers some examples.
Oh, go on.
Well, Danske Estonia introduced a new customer risk rating procedure, their first change in risk rating for 5 years, apparently.
OK.
And they started sanctions screening for incoming payments.
Started?
Yes, Graham. It turns out that while they'd been screening outgoing payments, they'd not previously screened incoming ones.
Oh, my word.
Yeah, as the consent order puts it, Danske Estonia did in fact undergo some reforms over the course of 2014, but these underscored the failings up to that point.
It's got a lovely sense of humour, that. Yeah. So in September 2014, I imagine as part of the annual review, closure is again back on the table when our friend in AML compliance recommends it if the situation worsens.
Yeah.
In actuality, the relationship continues for a further year until it is terminated in October 2015.
So, almost exactly 8 years of relationship in all, and you get the feeling that the DFS is surprised it went on so long.
Yes, I think that's a fair characterisation, Ray. They note that over the 8 years, Deutsche Bank cleared more than $267 billion for Danske Estonia, at least $150 billion of which was payments from Russia and other former Soviet states. So getting on for three quarters of the 200 billion euro of non-resident portfolio flows determined to be suspicious.
Deutsche itself identified a total of 340 suspicious transactions passing through its accounts, plus a further 87 in the year of closure. The consent order says this and other factors, like the history of high RAC scores and the various dialogues between Deutsche and Danske Estonia about AML policies and controls, put Deutsche Bank on notice that there were issues that required further timely action, and that despite this, the bank maintained its relationship until 2015.
Yeah, there's at least an implied criticism there.
At the very least, I'd say, Graham.
And then the consent order looks at Deutsche's operation of the FBME and DE, that's Danske Estonia, accounts together and sets out what it sees as the bank's compliance failures.
And what are they?
Well, where do you start? It's critical of their policies and procedures. They didn't set out specific criteria under which the bank would exit or apply lesser risk mitigation measures, for instance, and that they failed to consistently maintain policies that provided practical implementation guidance.
And after praising Deutsche Bank for their exemplary cooperation and their remediation efforts, as detailed in our earlier special episode, they move on to detail the specific laws and regulations they find Deutsche has broken.
Yes, and I'll quote directly. The department finds that Deutsche Bank failed to maintain an effective and compliant anti-money laundering program in violation of 3 NYCRR section 116.2.
That's pretty stark. It goes on to require payment of a fine of $150 million and place certain terms on the agreement of the fine. For instance, that the bank will not seek reimbursement or indemnity for the fine through insurance.
And it charges the monitor that's already in place following the 2017 action against the bank to remain in place and oversee remediation arising from this new consent order as well, although to do so without extending already agreed timescales.
But the department retains the right at its discretion to extend both scope and duration of the monitorship. And there are a number of technical caveats to there being no further action against the bank.
One of those really jumped out at me, Ray.
Which was that?
Well, the one that reads, quotes, notwithstanding any other provision in this consent order, the department may undertake action against Deutsche Bank for transactions or conduct in connection with FBME, Danske Bank and Jeffrey Epstein and his related entities that Deutsche Bank did not disclose to the department in the presentations and written materials submitted to the department in connection with these matters.
In other words, if there's anything you haven't told us, beware.
Yeah, that's certainly how I read it, although from the tenor of the consent order's comments about Deutsche Bank's conduct in the investigation, it's clear that this is not a clause they are expecting to become important.
So, there we are, Graham. Over three special episodes, there's all you need to know about the DFS New York's consent order against Deutsche Bank.
Yes, encompassing three troubled relationships for the bank with Jeffrey Epstein, with FBME and with Danske Estonia.
So, what's next, Graham?
Well, next, and before we embark on Season 5, Ray, we really are going to take a break.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it.